Hallelujah.
I want to welcome you this morning to another time in the presence of the Lord. This is Overcomers Podcast. Today, before I share the word of the Lord with you, I want you to just spend some few minutes to pray. Because I strongly believe that the word of the Lord that is coming to you today will bring transformation, and the devil does not want that. Luke chapter 24, from verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them,
he took bread and blessed it, and broke and gave it to them. Verse 31.
And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. This morning, I would like us to spend time to pray. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. I'm going to be sharing on the subject of winning through prayer. I know for a lot of us, we know what it means to pray. But today's revelation knowledge will bring great transformation. Now, how every one of us, even those of you who are here, I want you to just join me and say, Father,
this morning,
open the eyes of my understanding.
Open the eyes of my understanding.
And grant me revelational knowledge of your word this day. Lift your voice and just pray. Pray, Father, let the eyes of my understanding be open. Let the eyes of my understanding be open. Give me a fresh encounter with your word. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that the eyes of my understanding will be open. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. Come open the eyes of my understanding. I pray for revelation and knowledge of your word, Lord. Revelation and knowledge of your word, Lord. Oh, the spirit of revelation will fellowship with us this morning. Holy Spirit of revelation, we ask of you that you open the eyes of our understanding. Flood with life. Flood with understanding. Flood with life. In the name of Jesus. Oh, rehadabos popali bazambarabas katalegos poparenede. Salimados copaleta barados copade legedesa. Reba de mashe balazata de mido sope de gerina baba. Leta zapata calido se balaba. Pray about it. We come with open hearts. We come with open hearts. Teacher, come open the eyes of our understanding. Open the eyes of our understanding in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Ancient word, ever true, changing me and changing you.
We have come
with all the heart. Oh, let the ancient word
depart.
Ancient word. Oh, ever true. Changing me and changing you. We have done
with open hearts.
Ancient Lord, we guide us, oh,
Patience words.
Patience words. Ever true. Changing me. And changing you.
We have come.
We have come. We open up.
Lord, as we have prayed, I ask that every one of us today, the eyes of our understanding indeed will be flooded with light.
Amen.
Take us deeper, Lord.
Amen.
Show us things that have been hidden from us.
Amen.
Whatever truth about prayer that has been withholding from us, now let it be released, oh God.
Amen.
That we will experience you more, Lord.
Amen.
For in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen.
Shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior or the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. Thanks be to God, which always, not sometimes, but always causeth us to triumph. You are triumphing.
Amen.
This is your season of triumphing.
Amen.
Today we begin our fasting and prayer. Rather very unusual for us to start on a Sunday. Even the season itself is unusual. So I will share with you winning through prayer. Romans chapter 8 verse 37 says, May in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Who causes us to always triumph? So winning all the time is a possibility. Triumphing all the time in life is a possibility. Regardless of the philosophy of the world that says we will win some and lose some. Or the world will tell us that it's not possible to always win. But that is not what the Word of God says. The Word of God did not say you will always win some and lose some. The Word of the Lord did not say you will always have to be up and down. It is possible to live a winning streak life. Always winning. This is what God wants for you today. And that is going to happen practically in your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, see, the important things of life are not just thoughts. That you don't learn the important things by mere teaching. You have to learn them by observation and practicing. No matter how much I teach on the subject of prayer, if you don't get down to the business of praying, you will never learn how to pray. Prayer is not something that is just thoughts. It is something that you know by doing it is an experience. So, if no matter how much you learn how to cook, if you do not get down to the business of cooking by yourself, no matter what you think you know about cooking, you will still not be able to cook well. So there is a difference between being taught something and doing it. This morning, as I begin to teach on this subject of winning through prayer, I am not just teaching. How can I teach on prayer and will not learn how to pray? That is why we are starting our fasting and prayer today. Because you are learning and you are getting down to the business. That's why he said that it's very rather unusual for us to start fasting and prayer on the day, on the Sunday. But because I am teaching, and once we finish it, you enter your kitchen and begin to practice it. That is how to know how to pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let me share some important truth about prayer with you. Number one is a word from John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. He says something. He says, he said God is limited by our prayer life, that he can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. These are the words of John Wesley. It seems God is limited by our prayer life, and that he can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. In other words, until you give God permission to operate, it will not work. In fact, it means that God needs man's permission before he can do something for humanity. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. It's a mystery to think that the Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, will need your permission before he can operate on your behalf or on my behalf, or he can operate on this earth. The one who is the owner of the earth will not just walk in anyhow or do anything without being invited, without being allowed, without being given the permission to go ahead. This is what people find very hard to believe. How can you say that God cannot just move? Well, I remember the song that we learned as children. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. So it's like God is in charge of everything in this world. He determines everything. Now, that is not true. Because if God is in charge, there will be a lot of bad things that are happening. And that means God is the one behind them. In fact, the Bible rather says that God does not want anyone to perish. So left for God, nobody will perish in this world, but that all will come to repentance. So why does bad things happen? Why is there so much chaos in the world? Well, it's because God is not the one in charge of the running. Oh, that now sounds shocking to some of us. Now go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Psalm 8 verse 6. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. So when God created the earth, he did not tell man, let us share it together. You rule in the day, I will rule in the night. But God created the earth and handed over the rulership. He handed over the dominion. He handed over the control, the rulership of the earth. He gave everything absolutely over to Adam. So Adam became the Lord of this earth. Adam became the God of this world. Adam began to rule on the behalf of God. But that changed when Adam committed high treason by obeying the voice of the devil. And when Adam obeyed the voice of the devil, he turned the authority over. He turned the rulership over to the devil. And do you know what the Bible says? Romans chapter 6 verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, is servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So the moment Adam and Eve obeyed the devil, legitimately, legally, they handed over the rulership, the dominion over to the devil. So the devil did not steal it from them. They submitted it to him. The devil did not rob them. Because if had the devil robbed them, God could have fought back for them. But the devil did not rob them of it. They willingly surrendered to the lordship of the devil. And what happened? According to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4, the Bible says, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not. He called the devil the God of this world. The God of this world. So when Adam and Eve handed over the control to the devil became the God of this world. So God is not in control. God is not the one ruling. The devil is the God of this world. Now for God to step in, for God to come and take control of any circumstances or situation, you have to welcome him. You have to invite him. This is what Jesus came to do for us on the cross of Calvary. So when Jesus came, laid down his life, he gave us eternal life. So no wonder the Bible then says to us that even though you are in the world, you are not of this world. So there are two kingdoms in this world, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And for you in the kingdom of God, for God to operate on your behalf, he said, I stand at the door and knock. So God can watch some things happen unless in his mercy. He won't do anything. Because you have to invite him. And how do we invite him? How do we give him the permission to walk on our behalf? Prayer. Prayer. So you are wondering, oh, Pastor, I've been going to church. I've been serving God. I've been doing a lot of things. My life is not changing. Things are not working around me. Listen to me. It is not complaint that changes things. It's not that God does not see that things are not going the way you ought to go in your life. It's not that God is not oblivious of the struggle you are going through. But the question is, you have not given him the permission to walk on your behalf. Oh yeah. If truly you are serious about your situation, you will know that prayer is the legal way of asking God to come and step in. Just as a policeman, no matter how powerful he is, cannot just harass you and arrest you and put you into prison when you have not committed anything. The same way, God is all powerful, but he needs your permission to walk on your behalf. And that is what prayer does for us. So when we are not praying, we tell God, I can handle it by myself. The less you pray, the more you are saying, I can handle it by myself. I am in charge. But the more you pray, the more you are saying, Lord, I cannot handle it by myself. I need you. Prayer is a statement of faith. It is you saying, God, I cannot do it by myself. I need your help. That is why prayer is so powerful. Amen.
Amen.
Now, have you then wondered why the devil then referred to the edge around Job? In Job chapter 1, he said, the devil told God, he said, I cannot touch Job. He said, because you have built an edge around it. Job chapter 1. Verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made an edge about him and about his house? And about all that he hath on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. Hast thou not made an edge? Now, is he not going to be partial? Is God not going to be partial? Now, why will he make an edge? What is this edge that the devil was referring to? You find the answer in verse 5. Verse 5 says, and it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offering according to the number of them all. Job was a man of prayer. Even when they go and his children attend party, and they are eating, he will still make sacrifice of prayer for them. And that was what the devil was referring to. That is, Job have learned that he can keep his family safe, not by worrying for them, but by always interceding for them. And the devil said, I cannot touch him because of that prayer edge. Let me say this to you.
whenever you see yourself worrying too much about a lot of things in your life, is an indication of your prayerlessness. Whenever you find yourself worrying too much about a lot of things, becoming so fearful, or about your safety, the safety of your children, your finances is giving you concern, and you're wondering, how will I pay this bill? How will I pay that bill? Oh, how will I get this? Oh, if my children, will my children be sick? Will they die on the road if they go? If they travel, will they have an accident? Will Abraba attack me? Will something bad? Whenever you see worrying and fear taking over your heart, is because of the absence of the fervent prayer life. Because the more you pray, the more boldness you have. The more you pray, the more confidence you have. And the less you pray, the more fearful you become. The less you pray, the more worrisome you become. Today, every spirit of fear, every spirit of worry and anxiety that has crept into your life, in the name of Jesus, I command it out in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I command them to lose their hold over your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
The second point. Prayer is an expression of your love for God. Prayer is the expression of your love for God. You know, the greatest commandment can be found in Matthew 12, verse 30. One of the saints. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, underline the word first commandment. Now, the Lord Jesus said, this is the first commandment. Now, how do we love God? Now, when you give your life to Jesus, He steps into your life, your love relationship begins. But how do we love God? Now, look at it. There is no love that is complete without verbal expression. Even if you are dumb or deaf, you always find a way of verbalizing or communicating your love. How do you see anybody who has decided to commit his or her life to a man or a woman without an exchange of verbal expression? Words like, I love you. When I saw my wife, I met her in the church. Even though when I saw her, I took notice of her, I had to make my intention known towards her by verbalizing it, by vocalizing it. I had to tell her, my sister, I love you. I think I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And those words that she heard in turn turned to faith in her. And she was able to examine, and she decided to commit herself to following me or accepting me as her husband because of what she had heard. What she heard. So words are the expression, communication and words are the major expression of love. Now, how do we express our love for God? Some said through soul winning. In fact, some of us have been erroneously taught in churches that the best way you can express your love for God is by winning souls. No, that is not what the Bible says. Soul winning is not the best way to, is not the best expression of love. It is actually prayer. Let's look at the word. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort thee therefore that first of all, look at it now. First of all, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. This is the first commandment. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort thee therefore, the first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, not even to go and preach to them. This is why some Christians are backslidden now. For COVID-19, we have to maintain social distancing. We could not, at the point, we could not even go, we're under lockdown, so that means we could not win souls anymore. First of all, prayer, and it's mentioned about four types of prayer. Prayer, supplication, intercession, giving of thanks, be made for all men. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Prayer is our expression of our love for God. When you are praying, you are actually telling God how much you love Him. A man who loves is a man who is not one short of words. I remember those days when, before I got married to my wife, every time we had to call, there is no day that we ever go by without saying a word or two we all hide, even if there is nothing to say, you just want to say something. Why? Because there is love. The love is burning. When you also love God, you pray. A man that is not prayerful is a man that loves less. Prayer is you telling God how much you love Him. Because it's more than just going before Him to make your needs known. It's fellowship. It's communication. It's communication. So when you pray, you will see that the more you pray, the more you love God. That is why the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, says the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Say, pray ye therefore. Beloved, if you have prioritized soul winning above prayer, then you have missed it. If you have prioritized being in the department in church above prayer, you have missed it. Whatever you have prioritized above prayer, you have actually missed it, because first of all, prayer is the starting point. I see us going back to our basis.
Amen.
I see us going back to the basis.
Amen.
You see, the devil knows how to deceive. You know, people join choir easily in church. They join every department, but prayer ministry is like no go area. Prayer ministry is what should be called love ministry. Hey! That's love ministry. That's the ministry of love. Because it takes love to pray. When you see a man that is praying, is a man that is full of love. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, let's look at some ingredients of effective prayer. Effective prayer. I like to use the word ingredients because for most of us who can relate with cooking, know that the ingredients you use will determine how the food will turn out. So for your food to turn out, you must be very skeptical about the type of ingredient that you are putting in that particular meal, because it will determine how it will turn out. Now, it's not that for some of us we don't pray, but we have not been conscious about the ingredients we put into our prayer. And this is one of the reasons why perhaps prayer has become frustration in the life of most people. The life of most Christians is now characterized with a lot of unanswered prayer. Why? Because they've not been intentional about the ingredient that is needed for effective prayer. Now, the first ingredient I'm going to give you for effective prayer is the ingredient of fervency. What do I call it?
Fervency.
James chapter 5 verse 16 to 18. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, confess your fault one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In fact, the Amplified Bible says the heartfelt prayer, of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Heartfelt prayer. Fervency is to pray a prayer that every fiber of your being knows you are praying. Romans chapter 12 verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now I want to give you the Greek meaning for the word fervent here. According to the Greek dictionary, the word fervent means to be hot, to boil of liquids, or glow of solids, like charcoal, glow of solid fire. So when you see charcoal, and this that amber of charcoal, that the way it's glowing red hot, that is fervent. Another meaning says to be hot, as in water. When your water is boiling water. So when the Bible says that be not slothful but fervent in spirit, it means boiling in spirit. When you pray, do you boil? Most of us trivialize prayer, that when we are praying, one moment you are praying, another moment you are cooking in your mind. You are praying right now and you are playing football at the same time. You are praying, but your mind is on something else and you are praying.
Let's look, go deeper again. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12 says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect, complete in all the will of God. You got the word here again, for the word fervent means to contest, to struggle, struggling for you in the place of prayer. He's contesting like in a football competition, like in a game, like a player that is struggling to get ball. You see how they attack themselves, they struggle to get the ball. He said that, so you cannot see a player on the field who says he's a serious player and he sees the ball in the feet of his enemy or the opponent and he's not going to go all out. You see them running for 90 minutes, running, never tired. This is what it means to be fervent in the place of prayer. So in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, the Bible then introduces better. It says, for we wrestle, for we are not contending, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So the word fervent here also means to wrestle. To wrestle. Beloved, prayer is not something you trivialize. You wrestle in the place of prayer. You contest in the place of prayer. You become hot in the place of prayer. You boil in the place of prayer. This is what it means to pray. This is what it means to pray and to have effective prayer. Don't trivialize it. I remember the story of a servant of God, John G. Lake. He's one of the generals. He's one of God's generals that has got to be with the Lord. And the story was told that he and his friend was taken to a rich woman in South Africa. The woman was dying of cancer. And the woman was always having this unbearable pain. But having heard of this great servant of God, she called them to him and she told them that I'm placing all before the Lord. Pray with me. I don't want to die of this cancer. And John G. Lake said when he began to pray, they spent hours praying. Then by day two, the woman said that now is either God heals her or nothing else. So she let go of all the medication. And the medication means that she had to live with unbearable pain. Day one, day two, day three. I think by day three, Georgina said he quickly went up to go and shower. And as he was coming back and he entered the compound of this woman, and he said the cry of the woman rendered the atmosphere. He heard the woman wailing and crying in intense pain. John G. Lake said he ran towards this woman's bedroom. He forgot that he was a preacher. He let go of all the decorum or whatever. He opened the bedroom door and rushed to the woman on the bed. He said he picked this woman like a baby in his arms and lifted this woman before the Lord and he started weeping. Oh, he wept and wept and wept and wept. And before you know it, the woman jumped off of his hands. The woman was healed. The woman was healed. The woman was healed. You see, what happened is that he was praying, but it was not boiling yet. Even though he was praying, he has not entered into the place of heartfelt prayer. Even though he was praying, he has not entered into the realm where his heart is melting with the heartbeat of God. You see, when we don't encourage our, when we don't engage in fervent prayer, we are joking. You see somebody praying and is chewing gum all around the place. You know, are you saying that I cannot? Yeah, there are times you can be praying and doing other things. But let me say something. Fervency means the whole of your heart, even though you are doing something else. As you are praying, whether you are walking, if somebody asks you something, you may even not know. Because the whole of your heart is with the Lord. So when you are praying fervently, it means that your heart is giving totally to God at that moment and nothing else but that prayer and the utterances you are making to God. Beloved, fervency is an ingredient of effective prayer. In this season, I don't know what you are believing God for. I don't know what you are looking up to God for. But I'm like John G. Lake, it is time we cry before the Lord. There are times you have to break down in the place of crying. I remember it was somewhere in 2nd of August 2019. We just finished our great Gator Wars International Convention. And it finished on a Sunday. and there are some things I was believing God for. After the convention finished, it was one of the most organized, one of the most successful conventions we've had in recent time. Then I went on my knees again, I began to have vigil. I was not just okay. Day one after the convention, I was waiting upon the Lord and in my house. Day two, day three, day five, it was Thursday stroke Friday morning, I remember. I woke up early. This time around, I was just praying. I do not really know what I was praying for, but I just knew that God, there is room for more. There is room for more. Oh, at the point I knew I was just mopping. I was just crying. You know, there, when you enter into that boiling state, then into the heartfelt state of prayer, every fiber of your being knows you are praying. You yourself, you know you are praying. It's a place where you are even short of words. It's a place you break down in tears. It's a place you begin to melt before the Lord. Oh, I was praying. I was praying. And I think it was around 4 or 5 a.m. I was there crying and mopping like a baby. When the Lord said to me, "Today arise and go to altar." What am I going to do with altar? Before then, I had actually been to altar with one of our guest ministers. I said he wanted to see Witness Chapel, wanted to see the servant of God, Bishop Oyedepo, but we're not able to see him. But around that 5 a.m., the Lord said to me, "Today, well, you are going to altar, you are going to see my servant David Oyedepo." I said, "What?" I remember just that was, I began to just think, I knew when God said I should go. I don't know how to, I've never met him one-on-one. I've read his book, I've seen him from a distance, but I've never had any personal encounter with him. But God was about to do something in my life. Around 6 a.m., I tested the person that was supposed to take me there. I said, "We are going out early." We left my house around 6 a.m., early morning, maybe from around 6 a.m. to 7. I remember that we got there around 8 that morning. And as I go there, I don't even know where his office was. Or where his office is. I don't even know how to locate him. I just began to inquire in that place at Covenant University in Kingdom Land there. And when we got there, they told me where his office was. Then as I asked them, I said, "Can I see one of the pastors?" I said, "For what?" I don't even know what was supposed to be the case. So I went and saw one of the pastors. And as I was with them, and we began to talk, then the man said to me, "Would you like to see Papa today?" I said, "Papa? I don't mind seeing Papa." And he told me, "Okay, you know what? This is how to go about it." And he told me some one or two things to do. And he said at exactly 12 or 11 o'clock that day, the Papa was going to be coming in. And he told me where to sit down. Beloved, when the man came in, I knew that today was a day of appointment. He did not say a word to me. He just went into his office. Then the man said, "No, he's coming down around 1 o'clock again. Just wait, because something is about to happen to you." I quickly went to go and get an offering. And as I stood there, at exactly that time, he began to come. And I knelt down. I presented my offering and lifted my hand. All he did was just to lay hands on me. He didn't even ask me for my name or whatever. But that settled it. From that August till today, I have seen monumental turnaround in my life, in my ministry. Things that I've battled with for so long and have become a testimony to them. Why? An encounter was granted me in the place of prayer. I refuse to settle for less. I don't know who you are today, but I want you to get angry in your spirit. That sickness don't belong to your body. There is room for more. That failure is not your portion. Don't live with barrenness. Don't live with failure. Don't live with this crisis. Don't get used to a life of crisis. It is not normal to be begging for bread. There is room for more. But you have to pay the price. You have to separate yourself and lay hold of the horn of the altar and begin to engage in prayer fervently. The Bible says the effect of fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth one. Was it the first time I was praying? No. But I knew. If you've been listening to my sermon, you know I'm not good with dates. I'm not really good with dates. I don't really commit dates to memory. But that time when something major happens, you always remember it. Listen to me. God is about to do something. I don't know who you are. Today we have started this fasting and prayer today. These 7 days is your season of turnaround. It's your season when heaven is going to open over your life. It's your season when you are going to see the glory of God. Your children are going to go to school.
You are going to have peace in your marriage. You are going to have joy in your home. You are not going to continue to struggle like this. That sickness is leaving your body. All you need to do is simply engage in fervent prayer. Engage in fervent prayer. Engage in fervent prayer. Engage in fervent prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man. Have a led one. This is what I've come to tell you today. Wherever you are, I want to stand to your feet with me. We are praying. I told you I'm not just going to teach you how to cook. We are going to engage practically. Engage practically in cooking. And lift your voice and just talk to the Lord. I say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. This is my season of turnaround. This passing and prayer that started today is your own encounter with God. Is your own encounter with God. Lift your voice and thank God, Lord. I thank you for my own season. I am tired of the status quo, Lord. There's got to be more. 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 Oh, Lord, thank you for this current level, but there is room for more, Lord. Oh, Lord, I lift up my voice to you, oh God. There is room for more. There is room for more. I refuse to live my life with sickness. I refuse to live my life in penury. I refuse to live my to give my children over to the devil. I refuse to continue to live a life of penury. There is room for more. There is room for more. There is room for more. Rabbi Yagasa Kaja Telekele Rete Yadosha Tokore de Betele Baba Reduza Paleto Doske Telede Rete Vazelia Topelede Raboska Tade Paradavaya, Kusheke Cabaledo, Repaya, Mashe Catonia, Levoya Macaterica do Sotopelia, Retayado Sheke Tereteya Tayava, Reayacube Tayana, Yakuska Atote Kerita, Beshaka Yadoske, Halabayama. In Jesus' name we pray. This week, we are going to be praying voraciously. Like a lion that is hungry and you now come across your meal, you know that lion will jump. How you will eat? That's our prayer. As the Lord liveth and the Spirit liveth forevermore, some of you are going to see major turnaround this week.
Amen.
Wherever you are, your light is going to break forth as the new day this
Amen.
Week. This fasting and prayer that has begun today, it's not just like any other one. It's going to usher you to a new realm of glory and testimony. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I want to pray. Paul said, he maketh his angels spirit and his ministers a flaming fire. I want to pray, Holy Spirit, set me ablaze. Oluwa somedina. Father, set me on fire. In this week, some of you, the chapel leaders, are going to organize special meetings. Some of you have to gather your people and have special vigils in your house, in your compound, in your chapel, in your fellowship center. Have vigil for the next 7 days. Have vigil. Pray. I'm not in fast. You can fast till 3, but by all means, have vigil on a daily basis. We are engaging in vigils. We are seeking the face of God. All I know, as the Lord liveth, this is your week of divine encounter.
Amen.
And like Anna, you are not just going to go up to Shiloh and go back the same way. You have not entered into this fasting and prayer to end it just like any other one. This one is going to give better results in your life.
Amen.
I said this fasting and prayer that has started today will give better turn around in your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now you are going to just pray. Say, Father, set me ablaze. Set me on fire. Holy Spirit, release your fire in me. Let me boil for you. In this week fasting and prayer, Lord, let me boil. Cause me to boil. Cause me to boil. Set me on fire. Lift your voice and pray for fresh fire. Le brava shaka tababa. Le kasambra doske patalaba. Ritoske bala. Pray for fire. Lord, set me on fire. Set me on fire. Set me on fire. Let me boil for you, Lord. Let me boil for you, Lord. Set me on fire, Lord. Cause me to boil. Cause me to boil. Let my prayer life boil. Set me on fire. Let me wrestle. Let me strength. Let me being content with the enemy at the gate. In the name of Jesus, release fresh fire, my Lord. Fire rise, my Lord. Fire rise, my Lord. Put your hand on your stomach and pray for fresh fire. Pray for fresh fire. Let there be a volcanic eruption of fresh fire. Let baraka toto peka shata. La kuriada ma koto reke te sedia. Lu preke du skato badita kuto sakata. Bre aya ya 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 kapalita. Mito sabata ya ya sata papa. Reke ba ya koste peria dama. Bonia da seke kapalia no shoma. Rete ya.
Set me on fire.
Reta ba. Zopata ya. Zota zarene. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Lift up your hands wherever you are. Now place that hand on your head. Right hand on your head. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift up your people into your hand. Let there be a fresh baptism of fire. In the name of Jesus. As you set yourself aside in this week of fasting, in this fasting and prayer that started today, may you boil in the place of prayer.
Amen.
May God cause you to boil in the place of prayer.
Amen.
May you boil in the place of prayer.
Amen.
May you come and glow. May you come alive in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And as you seek His face, may each cause His glory to shine upon you. May every obstacle be removed. Every long-standing issue may now be resolved.
Amen.
May there be supernatural intervention.
Amen.
Let there be open heavens.
Amen.
Let there be dissolvement of every problem.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May every mountain be made low.
Amen.
May the crooked places be made straight.
Amen.
May the valley be exalted.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May your heart cry now turn to manifestation of joy.
Amen.
May God wipe your tears away.
Amen.
And as you welcome Him, people, your affairs, may His glory show forth.
Amen.
In all your endeavors, may His glory show forth.
Amen.
And everything you lift into His hand, may He talk to testimony.
Amen.
So shall it be.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So, beloved, every day by 3 p.m. we break this fast. The prayer point will be sent on our social media platforms. Engage in it. When it's time to break the fast, engage in the prayer. In 7 a.m. on our social media platform, you will see we'll be live and we'll be posting the thing. I'm trusting the Lord that you'll be able to see me every morning while you are going to work during these 7 days. Leading you in church prayer time. Just once you see the notification on your Facebook Live, that means it's time I'm coming live. Without notice, with notice, I'm just coming to. As many that don't want to come and pray, just come and join me. I'm just going to be on our WhatsApp, on our Messenger, on Facebook Live. You just see me coming to pray. It's a 7 days of voracious prayer. And even at the vigil too, you see me leading prayer at the vigil. I might come live during this week as the Lord leads. I will come live. But all I want to say is that this is the week of intensive prayer. And fervency is what we need. You are going to smile. This 7 day will be 7 days of smile for you. In the name of Jesus. Now bring out your offerings, your tithe, all those substance you want to give to the Lord. Remember, remain faithful. Don't let the devil rob you through deception. It is not faithfulness, it's not just in the physical church building. Everywhere we are, we are all to be faithful. Father, I thank you for every offering, every tithe, every giving that we are lifting up. Bless your people as they continually demonstrate faithfulness. Every tithe, that Lord, let your heavens remain open over them. Every offering giver, cause men to give to their post of good measure, press down, shake it together, and run it over. You are blessed beyond measure. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are praying. Depending on the peculiarity of your various locations, the various chapel leaders and fellowship leaders will be communicating to you. And this Sunday evening also, you still see us that we may come alive to pray. Like I said, we are going to have different, because of the lockdown and the rules that the government have put in place, so we have to find a way of having this meeting without breaching or contravening any of the rules. So reach out to your chapel leader, join us on our social media platform, and get updates on this week's 7 days of glory and power.
All I know is that your life will not be the same. See you again. The Lord bless you. Now, can we share the grace one to go? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy are following us all the days of our lives, and we are dwelling in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Really, grace, so am I, above only. Never. This is my year of laughter. I know no sorrow. My joy knows no bound. There's no room for sorrow in my life. Hallelujah. And remain victorious. Hallelujah. And remain. 2020, the Lord will make you laugh. And all thy years shall rejoice with you. I said, this year, the Lord will make you laugh. And all thy years shall rejoice with you. Remain blessed. God bless you.